Welcome to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne will teach you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.
On this episode of Claim Your Excellent Life, we are going to be speaking to a very special guest. Her name is Faith. She's 18 years old. And our subject today is what every parent should know about their teenager. So Faith, I want to first of all thank you so much for really wanting to share your wisdom as a teenager with the parents out there who really need to hear this from someone of an age that can explain it in a way that maybe they can receive the information better than from someone like me, an adult who doesn't know anything really.
Glad to come on.
Thank you. So, the first thing that is very, very important is we have this thing with parents where they think that they can tell their kids what to do all the time. Sometimes they nag them. And it's like they just want their kid to do what they want them to do, but they get so frustrated. And then what happens from the teen's perspective when that happens?
It doesn't get anything done. It just makes them hate you more.
And it makes them hate you more. That's a really strong language. In what way do you hate? Do you like feel the hatred, the anger? Like, how does that come across?
It's more like frustration rather than anger, really. They're just frustrated at you because you keep on nagging them to do this stuff. It's like if you would do the work, you wouldn't get nagged, so.
Okay, so how can a parent get their teen to do the work the teen doesn't want to do? What would help them to do that?
You can offer them incentives.
Like what?
Like, offer them a chance to go out for dinner or just to have fun, family time, stuff like that. Something that would actually get them to want to help you more.
Because isn't it true that if you have that one-on-one time, you kind of feel special?
Yeah.
Makes you feel kind of loved.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you were telling me something before we got on about when parents are neglectful, all right? Now, how does it feel when you feel neglectful or neglected?
It feels like crap because it feels like your parents don't love you. It feels like they don't care about you.
And how does that feel inside your body when you're feeling it?
Feels horrible. It just feels like there's a pit of neglect inside of you. Like, you can feel it there.
And that pit feels like, is it like a sadness? Is it sort of like an anger? Or does it just feel like an empty space?
It feels a little bit of both, or all three.
Okay. So it feels like a pit, and it feels like all three.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of times, like, I've worked with a lot of kids of different ages. They came from very, very well-to-do families. Even grown-ups, like, in their 60s that had, like, nannies taking care of them. They had horses, and they had all these things that the kids in my neighborhood dreamed of having. But they didn't have what they felt was love. What they had was parents that were, like, very into society. They were going out every night, doing charities, and, you know, if they were attractive young girls, no, their fathers would want them to be like a centerpiece of beautiful whatevers, and they felt like very much used and abused. And this did not work for them at all. They were feeling very much like you're talking about, where they were being used and abused in some situations because they weren't being loved for who they were. So can you tell us, Faith, how do you know that you're feeling loved for who you are? How do you know that?
Because your parents actually take interest in you and what you're doing. And in you as a person, instead of just using you for, like, you know, getting a girl, getting money, getting a job, stuff like that.
Or even doing stuff around the house, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, what kinds of things do they say to you that lets you know that they really love and care about you? Or what are the things they physically do with you that lets you know that you feel loved and appreciated unconditionally?
We hang out as a family, you know, we bond over dinner, or over, like, a movie night, or we go out for dinner, stuff like that. We're just spending time together.
Now, one of the things that's interesting is that sometimes you feel like, kind of like, you don't like talking sometimes. You have a hard time sometimes. And so the thing that you find is really helpful is if someone's talking to you.
Yeah.
So can you talk to our parents out there and explain to them how they can relate to a teen who's kind of not talking a lot, maybe a little angry, frustrated, whatever. How can they get through to their teenager so that the teen knows that they're there for them and feel supported by them? Like, what kind of words or language should they be using with that teen?
Well, you just gotta be, you gotta be patient with them. You gotta be gentle, but you have to be patient. You can be gentle, but you can also be, like, a little bit rough.
Like, assertive.
Yeah.
So can you give us an example of, like, how that would work?
Well, you just gotta tell them, if you wanna do this, you gotta do this, or something like that. Yeah, and all that stuff.
To help them be responsible.
Yeah, you gotta tell them that they're gonna live in the house, they gotta do the chores. They gotta do what they gotta do to live in this house.
Because why? Why is that important?
Because they live there, they gotta help out. Their parents can't do everything. It's not just the parents' job to take care of things. It's the kids' choice too, basically.
Because the kid is living in that house, and the kid has things that they need to take care of, and the kid needs to at least take care of themselves, and should really be helping out around the house, because parents do need help, and you know what? They appreciate it, because do parents need to feel loved and appreciated too?
Yes, because, hey, you brought them into this world.
So what happens when parents don't feel appreciated by the kids? What do you think happens with the parents?
The parents feel like they've let their kid down.
And when that happens, think they feel kind of guilty or sad or frustrated? So we don't want this to continue happening anymore, right?
Nope.
So the best way that we know to handle that is to let your kid know by telling them and showing them that you love and care about them by spending time with them and by not being invasive with your questions, but being interested in things that interest them.
Yeah.
So, like, what are the things that you're really interested in? What's one of the things that you're really interested in, for example?
I'm a lot interested in, like, theater arts, technology, all that kind of thing. Basically, that anything has to, like a lot of hands-on stuff or acting or stuff like that.
So, when the people in your life, like when your parents and your grandparents talk to you about performance and theater and they take you out to theater shows, that's how you know that you're loved and cared about?
Yeah, because they show interest in my interest. They support my interest.
Yeah, they're supporting your interest in a really big way because you're going to college in a couple months, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And what are you studying in college?
I am a liberal arts major.
Yeah, but what are the courses you're taking?
I'm taking a theater arts class. I'm taking a,
You're taking a writing class?
No, it's a writing lab.
A writing lab, okay.
Writing lab, and...
There's another performance arts something or another in there, yeah?
There's performance arts, there's, theater, there's dance.
Oh, and she's taking dance. So she's taking dance,
performance
theater,
arts.
Performance arts, and what are you going to learn in performance arts?
It's theater, so...
Okay, so she'll be learning theater, and she's taking some writing, and you love to write anyway, right?
Yeah, I write all the time.
What kinds of stuff do you write about?
Just stuff that's on my mind. It's either stuff that's on my mind or just stuff that comes from my own head. Just whatever.
You like sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
And you like fantasy,
okay.
Right? So, here you have a kid who's into theater arts. She's into writing and fantasy and sci-fi. And you also have another gift, which is singing, right? You have a really good singing voice, apparently, right? You're going to be doing that next semester, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, her family is really supportive of her going for her dreams. And allowing her to check it out. And there was another thing that you wanted to do too, right? You wanted to get on The Voice, maybe?
Eventually. That's goals for later, though. Not now.
Well, you have to get your schooling right, because you have to learn how to be a professional performer, or at least get up to the ranks so that you can actually go on there and do a good job. And what happens if they tell you that you need proof stuff? How does that happen?
You have to take the advice and just work with it.
Because it's feedback,
it's
right?
It's feedback, it's not criticism.
Exactly. And that's another really big thing, parents, that you need to understand. If you can talk to your kid about what they can do to aspire to be the best that they can be, do the things they love doing, and turn that into what they can be as adults so they're happy, healthy, productive individuals, that's what you want to help create in this world. Happy, functional, fulfilled adults. Because when they're happy and fulfilled and productive, the people around them are going to also be happy and fulfilled, right? What are some things that had happened to you that didn't work so well for you in terms of how people are treating, especially adults in your life? Can you give some examples of that?
There's not a lot I can recall, really. It's a lot more blurred than it
used to. How about, like, when you were in school and when you were younger, right? The teachers weren't that good to you, right?
Yeah, the teachers kind of, like, treated me like I was a weirdo. Or, like, they all went out.
But, like, in what way did they treat you that you were a weirdo?
They treated me like I was, like, different.
But what did they say or do?
They kind of just gave me a little bit more, crap than the other teachers would have.
What kind of crap? Like, were they talking to you in a bad way? Were they not giving you enough respect?
They weren't giving me enough respect, and they weren't giving me the support I needed.
And the support that you needed at that time was, as your best recall...
I needed encouragement, because without that encouragement, I can't get it done.
Now, this is a very important thing, parents. There's a difference between blaming a kid for not doing the work that they need to do and understanding that even you, as an adult, if you're in a job or in a marriage, you want to be encouraged to do the things that work in that relationship. You don't want to be told how stupid you are. You don't want to be told that you're supposed to know what you couldn't know because you didn't know because you weren't told. You don't want to be condemned because you don't know how to do something that you never did before. What you want is you want someone to help you learn what you need to do and to be open enough with you to help you to understand better how to do that thing that you need to do or how to better understand what's going on in the situation. So what Faith is bringing up is a very, very important thing, not just for kids, but for everybody. Because I can't tell you how many grown-ups I work with, I'm talking about people in their 50s, 60s, and even 70s, who will complain about how people are overrunning their boundaries by treating them like crap. Telling them how to do things that they know how to do. Telling them they're not doing things in the right way. Telling them what they can do, what they should do. Hey, let's get rid of these can-dos and these should-dos. And instead, let's get to these, I'd really appreciate it if you would do whatever. Could you please get it done by this time? It's important. The reason that this needs to be done, see, this is another thing Faith brought up before. She doesn't want to be told because. Because is stupidity. No one is going to do something just because you say because there's nothing there. Because, using that word because means there needs to be a because reason. So if you have a reason, and when Faith and I talk, there's always a reason behind whatever we do, right? So she understands that I'm respecting her by telling her why it is important to do whatever it is we're doing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was a little bit nervous about doing the podcast, but I told her I wouldn't leave her empty, and, you know, that'd be fun. Are you having fun?
Yeah. Actually,
it's a lot of fun to do something. And she had to trust me that this would be fun, although this was really her idea, actually, when I told her I had the podcast last week. We were out for a walk. And she said, yeah, I don't really like to do the podcast. And I said, what on? And she said, you know, helping parents understand their teenagers. I said, perfect. So this is how this goes. But then we got to it, she was a little nervous. I was like, you know what? When you're nervous, get the butterflies flying in order. You know, there's an order that they can have, and we can have it be exciting and fun.
Yeah.
Getting back to what we were talking about before, you need to respect people by letting them know why the thing is important to be done or why it's important for them to understand what they need to understand. And this is another thing, too, that's very important, parents. Teenagers are not stupid people. How many things did you not know that you needed to know in order to better understand your place on this planet from your past when your guardians were being actually honest with you about your past? Would you say that helped you out?
Yeah. If I knew more about my situation, it would have helped a lot.
In what ways would it have helped, just generally speaking?
Like, I would have been able to help myself with it, instead of just not knowing how to cope with it. Because before I had no idea what I was doing, no idea how to cope with it, because nobody told me what the hell was going on.
Very important, parents. Be honest and forthright with your kids. They already know something's off, they know that they don't fit in for some reason, and they blame themselves, instead of you being the adult and being real with them about the reality of your situation and their situation. Age appropriate. If they're old enough to ask the question, they're old enough to know the answer. Age appropriately. At all times. Doing anything less than that is going to be a problem. One other thing, too. Have you ever seen parents or grandparents be hypocritical with their kids where they're going to tell you one thing and then they lie about it and you caught them in a lie?
Or they do it themselves instead of being an influence on their parents.
Okay, so can you give an example of that?
I've seen both.
Give us an example of something that you just noticed in your life about that.
I mean, people tell their kids not to do it, but then the adults are the ones doing it in
like
the first
what?
Place. Smoking when they're telling their kids not to smoke, drinking when they're telling their kids not to drink. And this is more of a personal thing, because
no,
I've seen my parents do this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They still do it, even.
And so they're telling you not to drink and smoke, but they're drinking and smoking, so what does that teach you?
Honestly, for me, it hammers in the point more. It makes me not want to do it even more.
Because why?
Because they're telling me not to do it, and they've already done it. They don't want me to learn from their mistakes.
Well, there's been ramifications to these behaviors of theirs anyway, right?
Yeah.
Negative ones, right? So you see that...
Like, obviously, negative ones. So it makes you not want to do it, so you don't want to end up like them.
So you got lucky.
Yeah.
But another kid might decide that they're going to do it, right? And that's a problem.
Yeah.
But the most important thing here is the hypocrisy. Parents, if you want your kids to do something, you need to do it yourself. Apply to yourself first, And then you can apply it to your kid. And it's the same thing when I'm doing my hypnosis with people. I tell folks all the time, what I'm not applying to myself, I have no right to expect my clients to do. You know, I've been through all kinds of trainings. I've been through all kinds of therapeutic interventions. I've had my trainers kick me in the butt, not one of them, but two of them at a time. So I can honestly tell my clients, you know, I'm not treating you any different than I was treated to get me well and have a good life. So if you want to be well and have a good life, you're just going to have to deal with it. This is called dealing with reality, right? And I did kick you in the butt. I kick you in the butt all the time, right?
Oh, yeah.
But when I'm kicking you in the butt, how is it done differently the way that I do it than the people out there in the world?
Like, you're using tough love. You're not being like, hypocritical with me. You're being real with me. You're giving me a dose of reality, which I need to get going. Because otherwise, I would never have gotten where I am now.
Without that reality. And what she means by reality is I share the stories from my life. Did you get that book, Learning from My Journey? I did.
I'm not sure. I had to check my email.
Check your email because I did send it to you.
I haven't checked yet.
That's my entire life story up until my 30s or so. All
right.
And you'll learn a lot from it. And, you know, as I said, some of those stories are just like a paragraph in length. Some of them are a couple of pages. They're very short.
I will keep an eye on it. I'll check it out later.
Send it to you when I told you I would. See? Yeah. Because, see, this is the thing.
I haven't checked. That's all.
It's okay. My point is that I told her I was going to do something, and I actually did it. It's up to her now to find it. Right? That's
that.
All. And that's what we're talking about here, okay? We're talking about being your truth. Doing what you say you're going to do in a timely fashion. I told her I would do it after I got back home because I had to go someplace right after I met up with her. And I told her I was going to do it. Actually, it was a phone call, right?
Yeah.
I had to meet up with somebody, and I did it when I came home. And that's the way you need to be in your life. Because if you want your kids to do the things you want them to do, then you better be doing those things in your own life. And at the time when you decide that you're better than them, therefore you don't need to do it, is the time that you're going to find your kids getting into trouble. And worse than that, you're going to find that your kids are not going to trust you. What happens when your authority figures say one thing and do a different?
It makes you not trust them.
And what happens when you don't trust an adult?
You start not trusting yourself, because when you become adult, you start not trusting yourself because you feel like you're going to end up like them.
And how does that make you feel?
Horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Why?
Because you don't want to end up like the person who told you you couldn't do something after they did it.
But
you don't want to turn into a liar.
All right, so this is all about being congruent. And this is a very, very important thing. I'm really glad that we hit on this. All right? It isn't just the fact that you are lying to them. It's the fact that they believe, because you're their guardian, that they can't trust themselves. Because if you can't trust a parent to do what the parent says they're going to do, why would they trust themselves? And this is one of the themes that comes up over and over and over and over again when I'm working with my clients. And I don't care what age they are. If their parents are hypocrites to them, guess what? They didn't trust themselves. And by not trusting themselves as adults, this is how alcoholism happens. It's how drug addiction happens. It's how gambling happens. It's how depression and anxiety issues happen. It's how people gain so much weight they can't move anymore happens. It's how anorexia and bulimia happen. It is all based on the fact that this individual who is brought into this world by these two parents were given two different stories. The story that they were told that they needed to do as a kid and what they saw their parents doing. So please, be congruent with what you're saying and what you're doing. And if you can't do that, you better get some help and start working on it. It's so important. Thank you so much for bringing up Faith. Is there anything else that you think is like super important for parents to know about their teens?
Well, just be honest with them. Don't just lie to them nonstop, because they're not going to trust you after that.
And not even white lies, right?
Exactly. Not even white lies. Just be real with them. They're not idiots. They know what they're doing.
And the other thing, too, is talk your own language.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk the teens' language. You know, when I'm working with teens, I just talk their language. I don't talk adult speak. I don't talk adult speak anyway, because I can't be bothered doing it, because it's really boring.
Exactly.
I'm just really real. I'm just really present like I am now with my talk with Faith. And they appreciate you just being real. That means there's no reason to put on a facade and pretend to be something that you're not, because your kid's going to see through it anyway. They're the first person who's going to see through it, because why? They live in the same house with you.
And they know what you're like. They've seen you in action.
And they know, and they can catch you in those lies. And when you're with your friends and you're lying to your friends.
And they will call you out on it if they catch you. They will call you out on it. Do not think that they won't, because they will.
And the reason they will is?
Because they know. They can see you. They live in the same house.
Because it's important for your kid to know that you're not lying to them. If they see you lying to other people, they don't know what they can trust of what you're telling them. That's what's going on there. And you need to know that. And you feel blessed if they have the guts to actually tell you that. Because that takes guts. One of the things that we were talking earlier, she was talking about sometimes she has a fear of telling her parents and her grandparents the things that she needs to talk to them about. And I want to talk a little bit about why you might feel fearful. Like, where do you think that might come from, if you know? You may not, but if you do, let these parents know.
It mostly comes from the fact that you feel like you can't tell them anything because that you feel like they're going to be critical.
Oh, critical. Okay. And when they're critical,
it makes you fearful of that criticism. Like, you don't want to tell them anything because they're going to criticize you.
Now, when you're criticized, how does that make you feel inside?
That's crappy. It lowers your self-esteem.
And when you have lower self-esteem, what happens?
You get depressed.
And when you're depressed, what happens?
Shit just goes all downhill.
Shit goes all downhill. And you end up just sleeping all day long?
Exactly. Sleeping all day, eating your problems away. Which is not healthy, by the way.
No, it's not. Now, if an 18-year-old can figure this out, I think it's about time people my age and older than 18 can figure this out. 18 years old, she figured this out already. Pretty brilliant, actually. And that's another thing I want you to understand. Just because a person's younger than you doesn't mean they're not smarter than you. Get over it. Open your ears, listen to what they're saying, and you may very well learn something that you didn't learn before because you're too busy making judgments about things that you are unwilling to listen to. I've learned some of the most important things in my life from kids who are 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. Really. They're brilliant. Why are they brilliant? Because they have not been told what not to think anymore. They just tell you their honest truth. And that's what we have to learn from our kids. Be honest. Be truthful. Speak our truths. And when we speak our truths and we're authentic and we're transparent and we're real, we can have real relationships based on real love and real connection. Because you know what? That's what we humans need more than anything else. We're like ants and bees. We need that social communication or we feel alone. And let me tell you something, in face learning this, you were on Facebook, right?
Talk to them about... not anymore.
No, she's not anymore. Wait, could you tell them why you're not on Facebook anymore, please?
Because it's just so toxic. There's so many just... Ugh.
Well, what happened? You had these interactions with people. Like, what was happening? What were you finding happening? Why you said no more?
Because it just felt pointless to me.
It felt pointless, but were they negative? A lot of negative
stuff? Yeah, there was a lot of negativity. There's a lot of, like, just... stuff that I wasn't interested in. It just all around didn't interest me. It just felt like a toxic place.
And that's another thing I want you to understand. Facebook actually is more responsible for more divorces than anything else today. And it's because, and I hear this from people who I work with, that they're so worried about being on the other person's, you know, friend about the other person, and they look and see what that other person said that might go against what they told them, and they find the lies on the Facebook page. Now, imagine if an adult can't even be real on their Facebook page and be real with their partner, that's so-called love unconditionally. I say it so-called because obviously if they're lying, this is not real. Imagine if you're a teenager, you don't really have a true sense of self yet, you're still developing that, right? And you're seeing all this crap on there about you and about other people, all this negativity, all this toxicity, and they don't really have the wherewithal to know what to do with any of that information. And more often than not, they're feeling bullied, or they just feel like sick inside. Yeah, is this sick inside kind of feeling? So, what I would like you parents to do is I'd like you to engage your kids in doing things other than stuff online. And watch out for what's going on online, because there's a lot of bullying happening online, like it used to happen in the schoolyards, now it's happening online, and the girls are having a worse time with it than the boys.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more sexual harassment with girls than there is with boys, too. But it does happen to boys, don't get me wrong on that.
Sexual harassment?
It happens to both, yes.
Talk about the sexual harassment that you see on there. How is that showing up?
Like, there's slut shaming.
What does that mean, though? Because I don't know what that means.
You're basically calling them a slut if you're just wearing a tank top, which is stupid.
They're calling these people names because they have a tank top on, so now they're slut.
Mainly a girl, though, because I've only seen this with girls.
Girls? What do you think that's about?
Guys calling girls these things because it's... For some reason in our society, it's just normal. It's just become normal to, like, sexualize a woman.
Yeah, it's been going on forever.
It disgusts me. It disgusts me. I don't know why.
It should disgust you because we're sexual beings, but we're not...
Yeah, exactly. We're not
a piece of property. Right.
We're not a piece of meat, guys.
Exactly. But you said also the females have problems in terms of how they're talking to one another, actually.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of jealousy between females, occasionally.
And that's why they call one another slut and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it has to do with their lack of self-esteem.
Oh, yeah.
Generally speaking.
Because they don't feel like they're on the same level as the other girls.
And
because of the slut shame.
Which really is really sad. So, parents... What I would like you to do as parents is I'd like you to take responsibility for your teenagers and understand that they do not know how to handle all the stuff that's going on online. Check in and see what they're looking at and what they're seeing. And if it doesn't work in some fashion form where it feels to you like it's toxic, or your kid is telling you that they're feeling like they're being bullied online, or they don't like the sexualization as Faith is talking about, and some of this other stuff that's going on, it is your job as the parent to take control of the situation. It's not up to your kid to take control. They don't have the ability to. They're only kids. It's your job to set the time and to step in if something needs to be done differently. And as Faith decided, she actually just shut down her Facebook page.
I should have done a long time ago.
Yeah, because she didn't want to deal with any of this stuff. Is there anything else that they need to know?
Not that I can think of at the moment. Not off the top of my head.
Okay. I just want to really thank Faith for being really honest about this whole situation, because you parents need to know what's going on out in the 21st century, which is different than the world we lived in. Oh, phones. I want to talk about this texting and the phones and stuff. Can you talk to parents about how they can better control their kids on the phones, and like if they're together, they should be eye to eye, so they're still not on their phones all the time?
Have them leave their phones at home, for God's sake.
Because?
Because you're there to talk to people, not to be on your phone all night.
And it's also going to help them when they grow up and they have to be in jobs and stuff. You're not going to be able to be on your phone all the time.
Yeah, exactly. You can't just do that. But
the other side of it is, parents, you need to have your phones in the car or someplace else. Because if you're playing on your phone, what is that telling your kid?
It's telling them that it's okay to do that too, but it's not.
But what they're really doing is they're ignoring you.
Exactly. Right? You're ignoring your child when you do that. Don't do that.
So leave your phones at home. Have them leave the phones at home, or leave your phone in the car so that, you know, in case there's an emergency or something, you can call for a tow truck or whatever. But please, leave your phones away from your one-on-one interactions with anybody. Be respectful of the time that people are spending with you. This whole thing where we have to be on our phones and our computers all the time and we have our heads buried is sick. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in restaurants where I see people supposedly on a date, and what are they doing? They're texting on the phone. They're not even talking to one another. It's insane and inane. So just stop doing it, and it can stop with you parents. And the same thing goes with the iPads, you know. Technology is to be used as a tool. Faith and I talked about this earlier.
Yep.
Not to be used as a way to shun oneself from the society at large. Because that's what happens. We get into our technology. We think that we're interacting with other people. We're not.
It becomes an escape. It becomes escapism, and that's not good. It's basically, you're shutting yourself off from the real world. You're living in a fantasy world.
And what happens when you're living in a fantasy world?
You don't know what's real anymore. You stop thinking what's real, and you start to think that this fantasy world is your real world, but it's not.
And what does that do when you're going out of the real world?
It makes you delusional. It makes you not able to handle it.
And that's the truth, folks. You heard this from Faith, our 18-year-old, not me. She's telling you what it is. So I need you to understand what she's talking to you. She's giving you. You could not pay enough money to learn what you've learned from this young woman here today. So, Faith, I think that's pretty much it, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So I thank Faith very much for taking her time with us today. And should she come up with any other subject matter that might be useful for people to know, even kid to kid, we'll have her come back on. And in the meantime, thank you very much for your time, your energy, and your honesty, and how parents can better listen to their teens, because they know they need your help.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for spending your time listening to this podcast, and I invite you to go to the Dawning Visions Hypnosis website, where you can get yourself some free information. We have an encyclopedia of knowledge on hypnosis, neurolinguistic programming, mental health, and pharmaceuticals, so that you can better understand how to help yourself and your loved ones. The website is dawningvisions.com. DAWNING, V as in Victor, IS as in Sam, ION as in Nancy.com. Also, please take the time to go on Stitcher.com and iTunes and give this podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, a rating. We'd really like that. And pass it on to your other people so that they know that we're out here. Because that's how people find out. They find out through word of mouth. Word of mouth is the best way to learn about anything, isn't it?
Yep.
Faith says yes. So, till next time, be well, be happy, be fulfilled. If you have found the information that we have shared with you here on Claim Your Excellent Life to be helpful and interesting, please do us a favor of giving us a rating on iTunes. We hope it will be 5 stars, as well as a review. Doing both these acts will move the podcast up in the ratings on iTunes, so more people will be able to find us. Also, please do us the favor of letting your friends and colleagues know about this podcast so they too can gain the knowledge that we're sharing here. We'd like as many people as possible to learn from what we have to give here. And we thank you for your time and effort in doing so.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne teaches you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.